Good morning, friends. Yeah, four of you responded to that. Thank you. Okay, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Wow, I love it. Well, my name is Ben, and I get the privilege of being one of the pastors here at Hayward Wesleyan Church. There's a fantastic pastoral team, and you're stuck with me today. Oh, it is so good to worship. How many of you, like, most of our worship team, you realize, maybe all the worship team was born after that song, He is Exalted, was published. Isn't it fun to go back and sing a little antique Christian music? Like some of you, you cut your spiritual teeth on that. That was a joy. So thank you, worship team. It is so good to celebrate the Lord. I have a couple ministry notes to share with you. So first of all, welcome. I want you to feel super duper welcome. We have an app called the Planning Center app. Part of our role as shepherds, that's a role that Jesus, it's part of a pastoral role. And so if you would do this, if you would somehow connect in, because it's a big enough church that we don't want people falling through the cracks, you can put the Planning Center app and check in. You can go old school, I mean like almost printing press old school. We have a connection card in the seat back in front of you. I love this. I love it when people use these. Check in that you're here. And put how I can pray for you. It's just so, like we talk, and sometimes I can remember, like, oh yeah, I gotta pray for so-and-so, and I don't remember exactly what I was praying for. Like, wouldn't it be weird to confuse if someone's praying for a kid, but I actually thought that was what your request was, and I start praying that you get pregnant? Yeah, yeah. So maybe you should use this more often. No, it's a great tool. And, part of what we want to do in this section is we also want to think about how we honor God with our tithes and our offerings in this world that we live in. Most of that is now done electronically, but it's still good as an act of worship to pause and think about God. We devote ourselves first and foremost to you, and we show that by giving tithes and offerings. All right, I need to make one more announcement, and this is going to feel like a heavy downshift. And then actually what we're going to do is we're interrupting kind of the normal flow, and we're going to pray together just based on what life has been happening in our culture. We've been talking about this as a leadership team since at least April, maybe before. You would have received a letter this summer saying what's going to happen. Next Sunday, we are hosting, next Sunday afternoon, an active shooter scenario exercise. In public school, maybe hospital world, there's another name for this. It's a woman's name. Do you know what it's called? An acronym? Alice. Yeah, so an Alice training for us as a church. So some of you, when you were a kid, you had tornado drills and fire drills, and you always hoped those would happen during math class. I always hoped that. But an active shooter training, and I'll be candid with you, this is hard to even talk about because I just don't like the fact that we live in a culture where, as a church, we have to think about this. And so one strategic option we could have taken as a church is to put our head in the sand and pretend. But that never seems to work well in any part of life. So next Sunday afternoon, at noon, we're going to have a lunch. At 1 o'clock, Deputy Jensen from the Sheriff's Department, they'll be here from 1 o'clock. Probably it's a four-hour experience. We are going to simulate a Sunday morning church service. This sounds really bad. We're going to have a fake church service next Sunday afternoon. So we need people here. And there are going to be actors in place. And Officer Jensen and his team is going to simulate an active shooter scenario. And we've been practicing behind the scenes. We've been working behind the scenes. Mark Lundeen and his team have done a great job. Like, what do we do if? What do we do if? And we're going to practice those. Just like Matt LaFleur has the Packers go through their two-minute drill, this is what we're doing. And so here's a couple of reasons we're telling you that. Number one, next Sunday afternoon, if you see a lot of cop cars, my sermon wasn't that bad. This event, so it's, we want to know what to do. We have a wing of 50, 60 kids. We want to do well and steward well the people that God's given us to protect. And so that's why we're doing this. That's one of the reasons. Just we want to be wise and prepared, but our local law enforcement and emergency response people are using this as their training event. How cool is that? Now, I don't know if this will really happen, but initially they talked about having the medevac helicopter. Somebody's getting a free ride. Well, maybe it's not free. I don't know. Somebody's getting a ride. Again, now, we're going to follow directions, but even the 911 call center, this is a training for them. As we're going to try to flood 911, see if we can break it. Not really break it, but there's a larger narrative at place here of we want to be well prepared. A couple things. It's a small town, and I know you don't believe this, but sometimes in small town there are rumors. It's just shocking, but so I want you to know. I just want you to know what's going on. We are not scared. We're not living in fear. This is really important to us at the board level. We believe ultimately that trusting in the Lord is our hope. So that's the message we want to communicate. We trust in the Lord. Second, I need many of you to participate in this. And this is going to sound funny. I need you to participate by coming to a fake church service and then going through the motions as we practice this. And, here's what we do. It's 4 hours on a Sunday afternoon. You're going to have to, I don't know, Devo the Packer game, or I don't know if Devo's still a thing. Ryan knows all about that. Finally, some of you, and this week illustrated it, some of you, even the slide triggered your anxiety. And you're like, Ben, I'm out. I'll make you meatballs instead, which, first of all, thank you, we do like meatballs. So some of you, like, I just know this is not your thing. And I want to bless you in the name of Jesus. If you say, Ben, I really believe in safety, but I just can't do this. We love you. No one's, like, we'll make fun of you if you're a Vikings fan, but we won't make fun of you for this. Now, if you have questions, by the way, Mark Lundeen's walking around in his flower shirt. You can ask Ryan or I. We had some questions right after service. This is not easy. We know it. But we would rather embrace the awkward, to steal the mom quote tagline. I have something I want to show you from God's word today, but it's been a week. Has it been a week? So those of you that are not from the Hayward community, this week, I think it was Tuesday. And by the way, a system worked really well. But a wonderful student, I don't know him, I don't know the student, but just a young person with a bright future ahead of them made a really dumb decision and brought a gun to the public school. And praise God, there were some other students with courage to say something. But I don't know about you, but that was hard. I have kids in public school. I have friends that teach public school. And what we realized is everything that's happening out there, it could happen here. The next day, the assassination. Some of you are thinking this feels like the 60s. Maybe not in this service, at the early service. That's where all the people from the 60s show up. But we're starting... I'm just kidding. Fear, anxiety, anger. And these are emotions that are real and they're raw and they're still here. And we want to pause and pray. We want to humble ourselves, seek the Lord's face. And in that moment, in the seeking, we will repent as the Spirit convicts us. Jesus said in John chapter 20, Jesus said, "Peace be with you." And he says it again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you." You are a sent people. But sometimes where we're sent, there's wolves. But Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you." I'm going to pray for us. Pray for our community. But then I'm going to be quiet, and I want you to pray. Jesus, who keeps promising peace, and we live in a world that produces anxiety and anger. And then Ryan's going to lead us. He's going to lead us to bring our eyes right back to Jesus. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. This is... like some of us can remember the last remnants of Christian America. This was never in our imagination. was never on our radar. God, the playbook has changed. Now, you're not surprised, and so I just want to acknowledge your sovereignty, your wisdom, your goodness. And we are seeking you individually. We're seeking you as a church. Jesus, you kept saying, my peace I leave with you. God, we need peace. Because some of us went through this week scared and angry and frustrated and incredulous. But we want to come back to you, the author of our faith, asking for your peace. That we would live and move in this community as ones who are comforted, Spirit of God, by your inner presence. As ones who are willing to sacrifice. God, thank you for our incredible school team, administrators, educators, and paraprofessionals. And oh, God, thank you for their willingness to engage every day with these incredible students. And students are hurting. Wow. God, give our school workers those eyes to see. And those ears to hear, that they can minister, that they can serve and love and care for these hurting students. And God, as a church, it's tempting to walk down the safety trail, the security pathway, and think we're going to protect ourselves. But really, God, I just want to say out loud again, like, we trust in you. We're not trusting in chariots and horses. We're not trusting in weapons of war. We're trusting in you. You are our shield, and you are our great reward. And we say that regardless of how life unfolds. We trust your eternal plan. And with that in mind, God, my final part of this prayer is that you would help us be the salt and light. You have sent us, Jesus. We have a mission here. And so we receive it. We are committing ourselves to love well those within the sphere of our influence, to speak truth with winsomeness and gentleness and clarity, to sacrifice and serve and come alongside. We love you. Church, I invite you, if you haven't been doing it yet, I invite you to turn your heart to the Lord in prayer.
Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave. He is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of this? Sing that again. Is he worthy of this? Is he worthy of this? He is. He is. He is.
And so, Father, we wrap like this part of the prayer time. We punctuate it with this verse. Do not be anxious about anything. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In whose name we pray, amen and amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for praying. Ryan, thank you for leading us in singing. I love singing songs about Jesus. I never really stand here and watch you sing. That's kind of special. All right, can you take a breath and breathe it out? I want to show you something from God's Word today that is going to relate. It is going to relate, but it's going to take me a minute to get there. You hungry for it? I'm hungry for it. You guys hungry for it? They're ready to go. You say, Ben, if they're ready, we're double ready. And you guys are caught in the middle. What can I say? I want to show you something from God's Word today that is what I'm going to call a creation principle. And Becky, I'm just going to warn you, I have no idea if I'm even going to follow along. So guys, this is extra exciting for her because she's going to try to guess which slide I'm talking about next. And you can be a part of that team as well. Look how fun it is. So what I want to show you, and we're going to go all the way back to the book of Genesis, a creation principle. There are certain laws that just have existed from when God made the world, and like it's a structure or an order. You read these in the early chapters of Genesis. For instance, you can read how marriage is supposed to work in the book of Genesis. And marriage works well when you follow that prescription, and marriage doesn't work so well when you ignore it. Or here's a comparison. Like, have you ever tried to fight gravity? Anybody try to fight gravity and have a broken hip to prove it? Like, there are laws that God just built into the fabric of what it means to be human. And one of these goes by a code word. It's not really a code word, but it's later on in the biblical story, they came up with a one word like tag for this. And I want to tell it to you in a minute, but as soon as I tell you this word, you're going to go places that maybe I don't want you to go. So this one word captures a principle that when you put it into practice, a governing principle, it's going to make a healthier you, a happier you. You are going to be more available to God, and you're going to be more available to other people. Or let me use the language from John chapter 20, when the Bible, Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you." And then he says it again, "My peace I leave with you." Like I want that peace from Jesus. Well, how do we get that? It's when we show up with an empty bucket. Like you put this law into practice into your life. You and the Holy Spirit customize this law. Like, okay, I'm going to live this out. And it positions you to receive, for example, this peace that passes all understanding. And this one word kind of tagline that captures it is this word called Sabbath. Sabbath. How many of you have heard of that word? You've heard of the word before, Sabbath. Like, I've lived in different parts of the United States, and I lived in the Bible Belt for a while, and they would have laws called blue laws. And it was rules about what could be open on Sundays and what could be closed on Sundays, and they were trying to legislate this principle called Sabbath. Now, I'm not sure that's a really good way to do it, but this word which can get misused and misapplied, and the heart of it can be missed. Oh, this is going to be a gift to you. And it's going to be a way that ultimately the life from heaven begins to fill you up. Let me pray for us. Just fast. Father, I joke with Becky that I don't know what's going to happen, but that's actually not really a joke. I don't know what's going to happen. I think I know what you want me to say, but like, this is a dynamic conversation. Holy Spirit, you lead the way. Bless my friends as they're listening. Thanks for that whole wing of kids. Lord, we are so grateful. Help us to really model well what it means to be loved by you and to love you in return, so that they have a great example. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me read you. Let's read the passage from Genesis chapter 2. Genesis is a fantastic book in the Bible. The early chapters of Genesis is going to teach you some of those foundations for a life well lived. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. Pause right there. So we're interrupting some context. If you read Genesis 1, Genesis 1 is an amazing poem that tells the creation story. An amazing poem written in Hebrew. Like, that makes it even more exciting. It doesn't even rhyme, the poem. But it's a literary function in which God communicates truth. And one of the messages from Genesis chapter 1 that's unequivocal is that God made the world on purpose, and God made the world with a purpose. And you might have been a surprise, but you were never an accident. With great intention, your life was given to you by God. God made the world and everything in it, which means, by the way, that he's the owner, that he's the boss. When I was telling somebody earlier that I grew up, the context I grew up in, I'm not throwing shade, I'm just saying what is. But my dad likes phrases like my way or the highway. I think psychologists call that an authority. I don't know what they call it. I know that authoritative, it was called don't mouth off. And I don't know if that's a good parenting model or not, but it is, the scripture is unashamedly saying that God reserves the last word as owner and judge. God defines what's right, and he defines what's wrong, and he intercedes and interacts with this world according to his will. Genesis 2, verse 1, God made the heavens and the earth. Verse 2, Genesis 2, verse 2. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. Let's jump to verse 3 really fast, because I want to show you something interesting. So God blessed the seventh day, and he made it holy, because on it, God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. Now, let me show you, I think, the most exciting part of this passage. And then you're going to say, Ben, you're weird. But I already knew I was weird, and if you didn't know that, I can't believe I've hid it from you for a year. So here's, you know, this is kind of fighting words for some of you, but so be it. If you were raised spiritually in a mainline church, I'm not throwing rocks, I'm just trying to describe what is. There is a vein of scholarship that said the book of Genesis is just four ancient stories, kind of just thrown into a blender by an editor, woven together, and that's the book of Genesis. You know, like, and often that showed up in mainline churches. So what happened as a result is you didn't really enjoy or appreciate the book of Genesis because you thought, well, it's just this weird hodgepodge. Like, you go to a church potluck and the Jell-O's right next to the mashed potatoes, and like, well, that tastes fun. But the fact is, the book of Genesis was inspired by the Holy Spirit, written by an incredible author. And you can tell it was written by an incredible author by some of the literary marks. And I know, like, for 90% of us, that doesn't fire us up and get us excited, but you read this book and you're like, this is intense. There are signals all through the book of Genesis, like, pay attention to this, look at this. Let me show you one of them. And then, listen, this is pretty exciting, and you're gonna want to jump up and say, woohoo, don't do that, okay? You're going to scare people. Verse 2 and 3, there's three sentences or three phrases in Hebrew in verse 2 and 3. And I'm going to put a, there it is, right there. Now, it's hard when we translate it from Hebrew to English, not we, I didn't translate it. When it's translated from Hebrew to English, something gets lost. Because the first three sentences in Hebrew, each sentence, they're each 7 letters long. That's pretty cool. You try writing a sentence with only 7 letters. 3 of them right in a row. And make it mean something besides the dog needs food. Nope, that's only 3 words. All right. So 7 letters, 7 words in each of the first 3 sentences. And the middle word in each of those sentences is 7, the 7th day. 7 words, 3 sentences, and the middle word is 7. By the way, that's just not random and that's not accident. That's pretty intense literary structure. What do you think God's trying to communicate to us? The 7th day, God, 6 days, God made the world, fantastic little poem, and then God pulls away and he pulls away from the poem and says, listen, pay attention to this 7th day. The 7th day is the goal of creation. Now, later on in the biblical story, that 7th day gets a code word. What's the code word? Sabbath. Here, we're recognizing this is super important. God's saying, listen, stop. You who are reading this, pay attention. This 7th day thing is the highlight. It's the most important part of creation. That's why it says in verse 3, God blessed the 7th day and made it holy. He set it apart. He said, this is special. This is reserved. Let's talk about your bathroom for a minute, huh? Now, I generally don't clean bathrooms because they just get magically cleaned at my house. I don't know how. I do know how, but I'm not going to rock the boat. I like the system. But you know what? There's some tools in your bathroom that you do not multi-purpose. Like Leatherman has never made a multi-purpose toilet bowl cleaner. Yeah. I mean, imagine if they did. I realize I'm treating you like junior hires, but that's pretty fun. Like if your grandkid walks out of the bathroom waving the toilet brush. Yeah, I heard that. I heard it. Yeah. Do you know what that toilet brush is? Set apart. I know this is like, that word set apart, that word holy means set apart for a unique purpose. There are some things you don't multitask. And God said, there's this day in creation, there's this rhythm, and we're setting one day apart. It's going to be used for something completely different. We're not going to multitask it. It's not going to be confusing. Sabbath, the 7th day. It says that God rested from his labor, which when you're like, and you think, wait a minute, was God tired? And no, he wasn't tired. What's happening in that language, it's communicating something different about God, how God steps away from building to enjoying, from commanding to abiding. There's this image in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. And again, it's anthropomorphic image. So there's this, like, you can do this. God doesn't have legs, right? God's a spirit. And yet Genesis 3, 8 said, God walked in the garden, it's the Garden of Eden, in the cool of the day. That's interesting. God engaging with creation. Genesis, John 15, abide. Uh-oh, do I have the right chapter? You're all looking at me, and sometimes I get in the... Is that where it talks about abiding? Yes, thank you. Man, I hate it. Like, sometimes I'm wrong. It's when I think I'm wrong when I'm really right. Anyway, abiding. Life with. Sky Jatani writes a fantastic book titled With. Terrible book title. Fantastic concept. What's God's heart? God's heart is to be with you in relationship. A.W. Tozer calls this the open circle, the Trinity. God made you to join the Trinity in that eternal love relationship. How do we do that? God says, well, I'm going to make creation, and then I'm setting apart a day where it's not about doing, but being. It's about together, abiding. That special day. God blessed the 7th day. Now, what gets a little confusing for us is that in Old Testament Israel, so the Genesis, these foundational principles that, by the way, you know, you can never really break God's law. You just break yourself on God's law. So God has these universal laws, these principles. You get to the book of Exodus, and God forms a people, Israel, has a covenant with them, and he takes this foundational principle called Sabbath, and he codifies it. And it becomes a very strict rule. Here's what you can do on Sabbath. Here's what you can't do. Now, that's Old Testament Israel. That's the law of Moses. We don't live under the law of Moses. We eat bacon and live under the law of Jesus. But sometimes that confuses us, because when we hear the word Sabbath, and we start thinking about rules that people have made for us to live by. But Sabbath isn't about rules. Sabbath is about engaging with God. Sabbath, a principle of disengaging from demands and engaging with God. You know, Jesus lived this out, by the way. You could probably see, well, here's an example, Mark chapter 6, verse 30 and 31. Jesus sent the disciples out to do fantastic work for the kingdom, and they were hitting home runs with the Holy Spirit. They were doing amazing works with God. By the way, even Judas was a part of this winning team. And they came back to Jesus. And the apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour and told him all they had done and taught. Then Jesus said, "Let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while." Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 cautions us about being weary in doing good. Sabbath. So we live a life like there's this, you know, put the next slide up, Becky. I think that's, yeah. We live a life where we're often governed by stress and work and busyness. When the fact is, these are Matthew Sleeth's words, the three R's. Sabbath, as a concept, is one day in a week where there is rest and renewal and some intentional reverence. This week, I had a sense from the Lord. I was in my prayer time. And part of my prayer time, I'm reading in the Psalms, reading from Psalm 23, verse 5. Now, a lot of you have this memorized, you just don't know it's verse 5. It says, "You prepare a table before me." Anybody love to eat? I had breakfast twice this morning. I'm about ready to chase down, man. "You prepare a table before me." Yes! But what's the next part of that line? "Do you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies?" Ah! Which means you and I have to figure out, how do we live in a context of hostility, in a context of brokenness, and yet still enjoy the feast that the Lord has prepared for us? Do you understand the tension? Like, "God, I thought you were going to get rid of my enemies." No, no, no. You're going to learn to eat with me even while the world is broken and hostile. Now, at my house, and I am not standing up here like an expert Sabbath practitioner. I've had bursts of it, and then I get distracted. But in my house, one of our Sabbath, one of our Sabbath practices usually includes eating well together. It's probably going to be our most expensive meal of the week. And it's just this phase of life. I have boys that are, they're half boy, half Timberwolf. They eat well. It's a great, I know it's a season that's, it'll love it. And this was, so on Fridays, Ingrid and I are at the grocery store and we're strategizing how we eating on Sunday. Because we're going to do this well. And I'm making a comparison between feasting together, and feasting together. There's intentionality, and there's something wholeness, and there's a recovery about this. In Sabbath, we learn how to pull up our chair to the Lord's table, because we've learned to mute the yappy voices of the enemy. whether the enemy is actual person, or it's spiritual demonic, or it's just some voices in your head that you got to... Anyway, Sabbath. So how do we do that? I love... there's a quote by A.J. Swoboda. He said, Sabbath is a fantastic servant, but a horrible master. I had a college classmate who told stories of, he was from down south, and they eat things. Do you know down south they eat this thing called boiled peanuts? Did you say so good? Yeah, I bought some from a gas station when I was down there. That might have been my problem. Gas station boiled peanuts. He was from down south, and the particular tradition he was a part of, his parents would not let him go outside on a Sunday afternoon and throw the football with his buddies. And he didn't think of that with great fondness, by the way. That didn't bless his soul. That is, to me, an example of Sabbath becoming a horrible master. Or what's the quote say? A malevolent master. It's a benevolent servant. God is honored and your life is strengthened when you follow that creation rhythm, and one day out of seven you step away and you say, I got to put the 3 R's to work in my life. And if you say it right, 3 R's, you sound like a pirate, which makes it extra fun. Try it once. Try it. Say 3 R's. See? You can't say that and frown. Even talking about Sabbath is a blessing. So let me give you this encouragement. Pick a day. It doesn't matter what day. Pick a day. One day out of seven. Not super good at math, but you eat, most of you have that many fingers. One day out of seven. And stick to it. Sabbathing is like taking your daily vitamin. Yep, you took the first one. Good job. It's a pattern that adds value to your life. There are things you're going to do. You're going to pick that day. Listen, there are things you do that you can do without thinking. How many of you are honestly going to probably knock down a whole bag of chips today and not even, like, nope, yeah, no thinking involved, right? Yeah, it's one of my gifts too. Whoo, licorice, I'm killing it. But Sabbath, you're not going to do well unless you got to think about this. There's an intentionality. I tell you, like, Ingrid and I are walking around a grocery store, pushing a cart, thinking, how are we doing this well this weekend? We want to do it well. You got to pick a day, and you start engaging your brain. One author, Swoboda, I'm going to give him credit because I love it. He said, he talked about honoring the Sabbath. He said it takes feisty intentionality. Feisty, like if you did this, if you sprinkle some red pepper flakes when your buddy, at the dinner table when someone next to you is not looking. Feisty intentionality. Your mouth wakes up when you get red pepper flakes on your waffles. What's going on? And that's how we think about Sabbath. We're intentional. It's actually an act of war against a system that tries to enslave you in busyness. Some of you still have this mistaken idea that what you do somehow relates to what you're worth. That's not coming from the kingdom of Jesus. Sabbath pulls you out of that goofy hamster wheel. The 3 R's, rest and renewal and reverence. Now, here's the deal. Here's my bias coming out. I don't think this part's Holy Spirit, but I'm saying this to protect those of you who are like me. Rest, by the way, it could mean a nap. But I don't know about you, but I still take naps are like punishment. Like, I get one day off a week. I don't want to waste it sleeping. So some of you are nap takers, and God bless you. Your Sabbath is you sawing logs on the couch. But don't think like Sabbath means you've got to sleep extra. Rest is like think about this. Think about the demands on you, the stress on you, the list of to-do, and rest means I'm taking all the pressure off. Yep, I got 6 other days. I'll pick it back up. Them goofy emails, they'll be there tomorrow. And sports practices, like give your kids a gift and just say, you know what? There's a day where we're just gonna tell the coach no. Like you're just gonna be a kid today. Rest. I just realized there's lots of coaches in this room. I gotta be careful how I say that. Actually, I probably don't. Coaches get it. Deadlines, emails, homework. So students, I mean, you're gonna think I'm crazy. I believe this. You find one day a week where you're not doing homework. Now you can't choose Monday. Like if you gotta go to school, but you are stronger academically when you can step away, when you can let your mind rest. It was 1793. Most of First Service was not alive. So, thank you. I thought that was one of my best today. It was 1793, France. So think French Revolution. Think about this effort I'll just read this quote. France, in an effort to increase human productivity, they de-Christianized their calendar by modifying the seven-day week to a 10-day week. I mean, they've invented new clocks to reflect that the week is now 10 days long. Like, why are we going by a seven-day week? Who's telling us what to do? No, we're going 10-day week. And you know what happened? Suicide rates skyrocketed. People burned out. Production decreased because they tried taking rest away. It has been built into the core of what it means to be human, to rest. So you are figuring, like, what's that? What does rest look like? What do you just say, this is off my plate? Here's the next one, is the word renewal. This is Matthew Sleeth's word, if I didn't tell you that. Those three R words are his. This word renewal, this is the fun one, because this is the renewal is what fills your cup. Or this is the word play, if you're not offended by that word. This is the element of Sabbath that's life-giving. Legalism will often demand that you conform to somebody else's limits and somebody else's boundaries. We don't want to be legalistic. You don't want to be legalistic about this. But instead, we want to be shaped by the Holy Spirit. We want the Spirit of God and our own creativity to customize the Sabbath that brings renewal to our soul. It's very, very appropriate to pray, Holy Spirit, how can I please the Father and refill my cup in this practice of Sabbath? You are all very different from one another. So it makes sense that how you practice Sabbath is going to look very different than the person sitting next to you. Some of you pulling weeds in your garden is going to fill your cup. And for some of you, it's going to make you swear under your breath. Sabbathing. You're going to have such a great time experimenting with how God made you to discover what it looks like. Here's how you're going to know. Because you're going to start to set, you're going to find that healthier you. And you're actually going to find that happier you. You're going to be more available to God. You're going to be more available to other people. You're going to re-engage those six other days like a sharper knife. All right, here's the last word. Reverence. Sabbath isn't the Sabbath without worship. And when I say worship, like this matters, by the way. Like, I'm glad you're here. Like, this matters on so many levels. But when I say the word worship, think Psalm 46, first line. I think it's Psalm 46. You can check me later. I lift my eyes up. I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? Did I say it wrong? 120. What's Psalm 46? Let's solve that mystery right now. I get that confused all the time. Psalm 46 is pretty gold, too. I won't charge you guys extra for this one, okay? Oh! You didn't hear that. Here's Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. Wow, I was actually really impressed with this side of the church. Wow, you guys are good. I can't fix that. I'm lost. All right. Psalm 121, worship, I lift my eyes up. So worship is celebrating. It's listening to God. It's prayer. It's meditation on the Word. It's somehow stepping away from the chaos of the 6 days and saying, God, you matter, and I want to connect with you. And it's going to look like gathered times. It's going to look like private times. Here's the, I spent a big chunk of my life as a church planter. Love it. I love engaging with people who have been disconnected from God. And one of the mistakes I made along the way, I didn't know I was making this mistake. I'm going to say it like this. I forgot to teach them something. And so there was an ideology that developed in our church plan, at least in my opinion. It wasn't everybody, but there was this idea that cropped up that said something like this: time with God is important unless I have something better to do. It's like cancer to your spiritual soul. God, you're important unless I get a better offer. And reverence is this commitment, one day out of seven, where you say, there's nothing better I'm going to do than have that moment, that time. Now, what it looks like, hey, that's you and the Holy Spirit to get to figure that out. Most of you are probably going to pick Sunday to Sabbath on. And you have the advantage that we gather together like this and we celebrate. Reverence. Let me, in conclusion, pick a day, don't fight gravity, you'll break your hip, and don't fight God, you'll wear yourself out, you will be a lesser version of who God intends you to be if you fight the limit of Sabbath. It's a blessing. Pick a day with feisty intentionality. Put your pirate words to work. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you so much. This is a hard-working crew. Man, these people work hard. Someone said they'd rather say whoa than giddy up. And that's this crowd. That is this group. They are life to the full. And so, Holy Spirit, there's going to be some occasions where we need to hear the whoa. And so we're leaning into that. And Jesus, that we would, in the woe, in the Sabbathing, you recharge our peace batteries. That you would recharge our light, so we engage culture and our light is brighter. Thank you. Long before you said don't murder, don't steal, don't lie, you said Sabbath. It's that important. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Whew. Whose name, folks? Whose name? In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you stand for a blessing? I love giving away stuff in Jesus' name. He likes to give it. Here's a blessing from him to you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Enjoy your feisty intentionality.